One day, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
You may be at church.
Amen.
You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday. No, it's not Easter, but every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday around here. Welcome to the NTEB House Church Sunday service. Today, looking for that blessed hope during a time of global pandemic, as fear, chaos, and death rage. Every day, the requests for prayer come pouring in. People sick with COVID at levels never seen before. Many in the hospitals on ventilators, equally distributed among the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Everywhere you look, people are afraid, confused, fearful of what's coming next. And for good reason. The future does not bode well, either. In light of all this, what are we to make of looking for that blessed hope? Of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church when it seems like it's the beginning of sorrows? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8, one of the very few places in Matthew 24 that can be rightly divided and applied to the church age. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes, like the one in Tonga yesterday, 7.4, that sent tsunami waves to the west coast of the United States. Just yesterday, and earthquakes in diverse places, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. If it feels like it's the beginning of sorrows, that's because it is. And while it can't hold a candle to what will take place during the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture, it's still quite intimidating. Now, for the Bible believer, this is what you've trained for, what you've waited for. I've waited 30 years for this. These are the pre-flight conditions that must needs take place, but man, oh man, it's a wild ride, isn't it? COVID rates right now are the highest that they have ever been since the pandemic started, and I don't know about you, but I have known far too many people who have died from COVID already. This is not a hoax, but it is a conspiracy perpetrated at the highest levels, and I don't mean of human government. Read Psalm 78 sometime and you'll see what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that today. Today, I would like to bring you a message on waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in the midst of the beginning of sorrows. We invite you to join us and to bring your prayer requests and praise reports as we look to the Lord this morning and we seek his lovely face. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these, the hundreds that are listening now and the thousands more that will listen in the archives. And we thank you so much for the increase, for expanding our borders and enlarging our coasts in over 130 different nations on this earth. And we pray for dozens more, Lord, that will come online. And we look to you, Father God, today. We look to you, we seek your face, and we ask you, Lord, forgive us for our sins and our transgressions. Wash us clean in your shed blood, Lord. We need a blood bath every day. I know I do. And as the prophet Daniel prayed, Daniel said in Daniel 9:4, "And I prayed unto the Lord and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments." And Father God, we come before you today and ask you to wash us clean. And let us walk in the path that you've set for us today, Lord. And we commit this time to you, and we're just so glad and so thankful, God, that you've given us another day of life, and you woke us up today, Lord. You put food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. And we thank you, and we're grateful, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad that you're here today. Day 671 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And COVID rates have never been higher. And requests for prayer coming in at levels we've never seen before. And we're going to have a prayer time this morning at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have a praise time. So if you have a prayer request this morning or a praise report, please post it in the chat room, and we're going to lift it up before the Lord. When I got into the chat room about 20 minutes ago, I welcomed everybody, and I said, "He is risen." And I don't know about you, but I don't need Easter time, whatever that mess is. But I don't need Easter time to be reminded that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures, because not that it takes place once a year, but if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you know that the fact that Jesus rose on the third day, according to the scriptures, that's what Paul calls my gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, and here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That's what Paul calls my gospel. And if you're saved today, that's your gospel too. So today I just want to remind everybody that we live because he lives. We will rise because he rose. And you don't need a Easter Sunday once a year to think about that. You should think about that 365 days a year and give thanks and praise and thank God that he defeated death and hell. And he loosed the bands of death because he could not be holden of it. And up from the grave he arose. Glad you're with us this morning.
Forever with his saints to reign. watch his bed. Jesus, my Savior, vainly they seal the dead. Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints.
Amen, amen. He arose. Thank you, Lord.
He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose.
Death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose.
Amen, amen. We live because he lives. Aren't you glad that you're going to be part of that first resurrection and not part of that second resurrection? Oh, no, no, no. You don't want to get anywhere near that great white throne judgment on the wrong side of the judge. If you're saved today, you are going to be part of the first resurrection. First resurrection, like any harvest, takes place in three parts: first fruits, harvest, and gleanings. First fruits is when the graves of the dead were opened when Jesus went to the cross. The harvest is going to be the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which is what we're talking about today. And the gleanings will be the tribulation saints during the time of Jacob's trouble. And today we're going to be talking about waiting for that blessed hope, that Titus 2:13 blessed hope. While the beginning of sorrows swirls all around us, the Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Today we're going to be talking about people who have died from COVID. And at this point, we're all touched by somebody. But Paul says that we don't sorrow like others who have no hope. Why? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Amen. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Today, I'm going to be talking for just a little bit about the comforting words of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in the midst of fear, chaos, death, confusion, global pandemic, earthquakes like what happened yesterday, massive, massive earthquake in the island of Tonga. It was felt 1,000 miles away, and it sent tsunami waves 4 feet high to the west coast of the United States. Things are heating up because we're getting ready to be going up.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere.
Man, oh man, that's true.
I can almost hear the Father.
Amen.
The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call these children.
Jesus comes.
In 2022, so far, we have purchased 2,500 King James Bibles that are going out this month to pastors and missionaries in over 30 different countries. And next month, we're going to be putting up two new billboards. And we're excited about how God is growing us and increasing us. But as we grow, we really need to keep our focus on the main thing, and that is telling a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. The rapture may be today, tomorrow. It may be this springtime. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, show you a springtime rapture. But that doesn't mean it's going to be this spring. It might be. I hope it is. But it could be today. Today, I want to get your hearts and minds focused on keeping the main thing the main thing. And if you're saved today, I rejoice with you. We all rejoice with you that you're saved and your sins have been paid for and you have a hope of heaven and you're no longer headed for hell. And that is something to shout about, and that's fantastic. But that's just your ticket in. It doesn't end with your salvation. And if you're saved today, you and I have a responsibility to take the gospel of the grace of God to a lost and dying world and to tell lost people that hell is a real place. And that if they don't get saved, they're going there. And that's the job that you and I have been tasked with. So yes, we look forward to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It is absolutely going to happen. The church will be removed before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. That's a guarantee, according to the Bible. But while we wait, we need to be busy. We need to be active. We need to be about our Father's business. The Apostle Paul tells us to preach the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Be instant in season, out of season, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth unto fables. Paul tells Timothy, who's a type of the church, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You and I who are saved, we have a solemn obligation to preach the word. And this is why we constantly hammer home that we need your support for the free Bible and gospel tract program. That's 100% funded by you and by me, but that is 100% funded by God's people. And last year, we handed out 11,411 King James Bibles, 2,500 in just the first week of 2022 alone. So one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is while we wait for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and as we watch the global plandemic, and yes, I believe that it's a gain-of-function virus created in a lab. I believe all that. But the Bible just said pestilence. Didn't say where it came from. So gain-of-function COVID-19 created in a lab absolutely qualifies as pestilence. So as we see these things raging around the world, we have to remember to use this time. You know, the Bible says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. I got a letter the other day from a woman named Jill. And very, very nice letter. And she said, let's see here. Your message on Christmas about the Tower of the Flock, Migdal Eder, inspired me greatly. I cried tears of joy and gratitude the both times that I listened. I had a sweet vision of the spotless Lamb, my Jesus. Oh, boy. That's good, 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 good. And it really stuck with me in my heart, my love for him. She said, I praise God for this enlightening teaching. And she's talking about the article that we did on Migdal Eder and the real birth of Jesus Christ. And she says, I'm in the chat room on a regular basis. And I'm going to begin supporting your ministry, but I just want you to know that I'm very thankful for all that you do. And she says, we, meaning the NTEB church family, we are getting something done that will pass through the fire at the judgment seat of Christ. And she signs it, my love, brother. To the fight. Well, this is where we are. Getting something done for the judgment seat of Christ. This is where we are. On day 671 of 15 days to flatten the curve. This is where we are. Looking for that blessed hope. On the front lines of the end times, as global pestilence and earthquakes are raging, and we're in the fight, we're on the front lines, and we need to be about our Father's business. One more song, and we're going to go into our time of prayer this morning. If you're listening to this broadcast and you can't find the chat room, just type in ntebradio.com, ntebradio.com, and you'll be in the chat room. And if you have a prayer request or a praise report, please post that in the chat room and we'll lift it up as a church family together. Thank you for being here with us on this Sunday service. right, it's time to go to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to remind everybody that we get so many prayer requests, and we put them on the list. We pray for everybody. And we're very glad and very happy to do that. That's one of the reasons why God raised this ministry up. That's one of the reasons why God led us to start the Sunday service in the first place. But I just want to remind everybody that when we lift up these prayers and praise reports, that these people who have asked for prayer, they're counting on you to actually be praying for them. I want you to think about that before we start this morning. All these people who have requested prayer, they're counting on you to take it seriously. They're counting on you to actually be praying for them and not just sitting there behind your computer multitasking, silently watching the football game. These people are counting on you to pray for them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know that the vast majority of you take it very seriously. I just wanted to remind you, these programs are not entertainment. This is not a show. This is worship. This is a church service. And we need to take all the prayer requests that we get seriously. Because one day it's going to be you standing there in the need of prayer. Just remember that. Heavenly Father, we pray for lost souls. We come before you, Lord, and we ask you, Father God, to save Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, and Glenn Clark. Jeanette has so many in her family that are not saved. Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Matthew, Samuel, Dean. We pray for Trevor, Derek, Adam, and their families. We pray for Jordan. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, that I've been praying for nearly 30 years. And we pray, Father God, that you would do something and save them. We pray for Jesse and his mom for salvation. We pray for Rachel's dad, Ralph. We pray for the unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family. Colby Bohan. Dina is praying salvation for her son, Jordan, who attends school up in Massachusetts in a school that Dwight Moody started. But there's no gospel there in 2022. There's no shed blood of the lamb in Moody's school now. So Dina asked for prayers for her son, Jordan. David Peck for salvation. Susan Weirs Bickey. Hall family's not saved. Daughters, Valerie and Marie. Son and husband, both named Greg. Think about that. She's the wife and mother, and the Hall family's not saved. Kentucky Jeffrey is praying for Tyler Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin asking for prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle for salvation. Connie, three kids for salvation. Joshua Gaskins is praying for friends Stephanie and Michael. Tulip is a middle-aged gypsy living in Turkey. We pray for salvation for her and her family. Brandy is asking prayers for her family's salvation. Rita in Colorado asking prayers for Dan's salvation. Ron for salvation. Spray of Sunshine praying for three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to be saved. Rick Dotson needs to be saved. Another man named Ron needs to be saved. Jan Lacker is praying for salvation for son David. Barbara praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Shondell. Nicole Zimmer praying for best friend and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry, Terry, Alan, Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for children Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara, salvation for son Jody. Mark Sherlock, salvation for four-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes, up in Canada, salvation for friends Bob and Abby. Nancy is praying salvation for Brandon and Michelle. Jill is praying for salvation for husband Jerome and for her son and daughter. Kathy Hughes, son for salvation. He is also a diabetic who had a bad fall. Haley C. has a friend named Zane, who is a Jehovah's Witness who needs to get saved. Jerry Ann Nicholson, battling COVID. She's hanging in there. Keep her in your prayers, please. Danny Arenas, he wants to thank us for praying for his dad. His dad went home to be with the Lord, and Danny himself is now battling COVID pneumonia. So pray for Danny Arenas. Patrick says his entire family has COVID. Eddie says daughter Natalie is sick with COVID, not doing well. Andrew Stickler, brother Matthew, tested positive for COVID and pneumonia, and he also needs to get saved. Werner Bukes has COVID, but is recovering slowly. Dana Bragdon and her husband Mike, they had COVID for about 2 weeks. And they thank everybody for their prayers. They are healed. Amen. Kelly, son Nico, has recovered from COVID, but now Zach, his other son, has it. Joshua Gaskin says Kenny Mitchell is still improving and now off of oxygen. He thanks everybody for our prayers. Amen. Hal is hospitalized with COVID. If anybody has an update on Hal, please let me know. But we will continue to, he needs a lung transplant. He has COVID. He's in the hospital. They won't give him the operation because he won't take the vaccine. But the Lord can do something there. Jeanette and seven of her family members now have COVID. Dara, who works here at Mudflower, she has COVID. She is getting better. Miranda, who works at the bookstore, she has COVID as well. But I checked on her yesterday. She also is doing better. Jeanette's sister, Kizabel, Kathy, son Josh is sick battling COVID. Please pray for Kathy, who is taking care of Josh and needs her strength. Marie Comfort has an update. Her granddaughter, Lindy Finch, is recovering from COVID. And I got to spend some time with Lindy and her mom, Gail, husband, Rick, and Marie Comfort here at the bookstore last month, and that was a blessing. And very happy to see that Lindy is recovering nicely. My own daughter, Megan, had COVID, and she thanks everybody for your prayers. She's doing better. Samantha, everyone at her work is sick with COVID, and she prays for protection from it. And I just want to quickly see if there's an update from Samantha. She's in the middle of a snowstorm. Oh, this is, yes. Samantha reached out to me this morning, and she said Spencer Smith, who is a Bible believer, he's a preacher, young guy, and he has a really good ministry on YouTube, talks a lot about of end times stuff. Spencer Smith has COVID, and Samantha says that he is really sick. So we got to pray for Spencer Smith this morning that God would give him a healing and get him back in the game. Michelle Santiago, would you please add Joshua, Heather, and baby Haley to the prayer list? They all have COVID. And she's been a good friend of mine for almost a decade now. I attended her wedding a couple of years ago, and she is just a dear, sweet soul and a great friend. And her son Joshua, his wife Heather, and their baby Hadley, they all have COVID, so please pray for them. Miss Kathy says, sister-in-law Andrea battling COVID and has COPD. Not a good combination. Alicia Hickey in the great state of West Virginia. Her and her two children are sick with COVID. She reached out to me yesterday and asked if she could get on the list. News of our list is spreading far and wide, and people, when they have a need, they want to get on it. And again, brothers and sisters, it is a blessing for us to stand in the gap for people who need prayer like this. It is a blessing, brother, sister. Sammy in South Africa, she's battling leukemia, had a stem cell procedure, and it's going okay. Pray for Sammy to get saved and healed. Harmon, who we told you last week, he's 86 years old and his health is not doing well. And with tears in his eyes, he had to step away from the ministry of what he's been doing for us for 8 years on sermon audio. And he asked me if I would take it over. Absolutely. I said yes. And so I'm the one posting the broadcast now there. But again, words fail me for gratitude to Brother Harmon. He's a good friend. I've never met him. I only spoke with him on the phone one time. But he is a good friend. He's a good brother. And he just wants to see people get saved. And I am just very thankful for what he has done for this ministry. So he is on the permanent list. Him and his son, Michael, who's battling pancreatic cancer. But please remember Harmon and his son, Michael. Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, Kara Marsh, all dealing with cancer on some level. Clayton Perry, he's dealing with cancer after a stem cell replacement treatment. His wife, Kathy Perry, recovering from a shoulder replacement surgery. Ricky Gouda, longtime listener in the Netherlands, recovering from cataract surgery, prayers for continued healing. Daughter Nortje is also recovering from painful surgery on her fingers and asked for prayer for healing and recovery. Dana's husband has medical issues and needs prayer. Suzanne Smith, back pain. Elizabeth and her family, urgent unspoken. Chelsea, Rachel, Jackie, many, Janet, many unspoken prayers today. Little Toe, an unspoken prayer for Dodie. Praying for Bible Baptist Church in St. Augustine, that God would continue to do a good work there. And praying for Pastor King and the people at Bible Baptist Church. Tim Chess, he wants you to pray for Mark Roque, who has double pneumonia, and Jack and Sandy Kraler, both have cancer. Joyce King has cancer and needs a healing. We have been praying for Mia, who is on a weekend retreat, and we just pray that God would give her a blessing there and get her back home safely. Bunky is asking for prayers about stepping away from her job at Bell Telephone in the socialist nation of Canada. And we just pray that God would continue to give her wisdom and insight. Jeffrey Hodge prayers for the Lord's guidance as he faces job loss over the vaccine mandate. Jerry Ungurian praying for husband Timothy, severe pain in his lower spine. Juanita Burris, unexplained dizzy spells, needs a healing. Comfort for the Yu family. Marty Cup Yu, her brother Glenn, went home to be with the Lord a few days ago, and we pray much comfort for Marty and her family. Annetta up in New Jersey, medical issues with heart and kidneys, and she says thank you very, very, very much for all of you who have been praying for her. Jackie in New Mexico, the Lord knows the needs. Chelsea on the West Coast, prayers for her children to be protected from the virus and from the vaccine. Patty D's friend's son is battling with pornography and asking for the victory there. Our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Reed, Danny, and Arnell, in Vietnam, Pastor Fojon, and American missionary from Sarasota who's laboring in Turkey, Luann. And we are praying that she is able to keep bringing Muslims to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Joshua in Virginia. Up in Canada, Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinik, Marie in Philadelphia, Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson in Australia, and in South Africa, we have Arthur. John Henry, praise report. He is home from the hospital and recovering, and he wants to thank everybody for your prayers. Amen, brother. You hang in there. Angel is praying for the people in the South and Northeast that will be impacted by the massive storm that's going through there right now. Rob says, please pray for me. My heat went out last night, and we haven't been able to reach our heating guy yet. Christian believer, I have a prayer request for a new job starting next week. Please pray that everything goes well. His Grace says, please pray for my wife's knee to heal. Aunt Nancy, prayers please for my niece's husband, Micah, who is sick, and their son, 8, who has COVID. Pine Lady, please keep our overseas military in your prayers. Commissaries are running very low on food in places like Okinawa and Guam. Char, prayers for me, please. I desire to be in a physical church building so badly. I just need direction. I love you guys here, though. And Char is asking for prayers that the Lord would lead her to a physical church building. And for anybody who is looking for a good Bible-believing home church, we pray that there's one in your area. And even if you have to drive 45 minutes to an hour to get to a Bible-believing church that has the King James Bible, I wouldn't drive 5 minutes for a church that had the ESV. I wouldn't drive 30 seconds to a church that had the NIV. But I have driven over an hour to a Bible-believing church that has the King James. Rudana says, please add my cousin Alan to the prayer list. He has esophageal cancer, but he's saved. He just needs a healing. Kyle Gorzel went out early this morning to get groceries, handed a Walmart associate named Elmer a gospel track, immediately turned into a much larger conversation. The Lord opened the door and allowed me to share the gospel with him right there in the store. Please join us in praying for Elmer that he would respond and get saved. Amen. Amen. It's not about saying the sinner's prayer, as Kyle well knows. It's about being convicted that you're lost by the Holy Spirit and responding because of that conviction. That's how people get saved. spray of sunshine, asking for prayer. Four out of her five sons have taken the vaccine. My five-year-old grandson was given the shot. Pray that the Lord does a miracle in their bodies. And of course, she's talking about blood clots and heart attack and stroke. And we just pray that God keeps them safe. Shar says, also prayers for my daughter. She's in tremendous pain from some unnamed personal stuff. Went to the ER last night and they sent her away with just a COVID test. Athena says, pray for God's protection for all his children. Jeanette says that she's starting to feel better. And mom and dad are feeling better. My sister Kathy has second round of COVID. Her son has COVID very badly. Joshua Gaskins, praying for a family friend who is struggling with alcohol and bitterness. I pray that the Lord continues to draw him closer to him and his salvation. Amen. Shannon says, prayers for a friend. Her name is Kelly. The Lord knows the situation. Thank you. Anne Marie, unspoken. Joniah, praying for wisdom from the Holy Spirit for my friend Kelly and new friend Dina. Shannon says, praise report. The Lord has given me the opportunity to witness through chatting platform. He is such an awesome God. Amen. Anthony says, please pray for my daughter Adeline. She is jealous of her younger sisters. Rebecca Lynn, praying for the people of Tonga. It's a very small island and it's flat. Most of them have no way of communicating outside of the island. Julia, please pray for my mother with a leaky heart valve. Also pray for my uncle John. Joshua Gaskins, please pray for my daughter's school classmates. Many have gotten the vaccine and many of those have gotten sick. He also says, I just received a text from a sister in Christ, Brianna, and her friend was recently placed in a mental hospital and then released a few days later. Her friend is struggling with mental health issues and looking for acceptance in the wrong places. Pray that Brianna can help her see that Jesus is the only way for her salvation and to be delivered of these evil devils wreaking havoc in her life. Amen. His Grace says, please pray for the Holy Spirit to set my adult children on fire for the Lord. Oh, that's a prayer. Set my adult children on fire for the Lord. That is a prayer and a half. Amen. I pray that we all would get set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have to worry about doing 2,500 Bibles a month. We'd be doing 25,000 Bibles a month if everybody got on fire for the Lord. Rachel K., church family, please continue to pray for Ray in Boston to be delivered from drugs and alcohol and to get saved. Also lift up Carol, who is battling COVID pneumonia. Nat, pray for my guru sister, Ginny. She told me no more talking about it. I guess she is into the new age and she's tired of hearing about Jesus Christ. But amen, Nat. Keep going. Marisol Barsena, I want to pray for my husband, Tony, for salvation. He has problems with alcohol addiction and says that he's saved, but doesn't seem to be showing signs that the Holy Spirit is working in him. Vilma, pray for my five children's salvation and my asthma allergies. Shannon asking for prayer for me and the entire NTEB ministry team. That would be Harmon, Jeanette, Lorianne. That would be Penny. That would be Lori D. That would be Miranda, two people named Megan, Dara, and Haley. that's the entire ministry team. Amen. We're growing. I lost my place now. Also, prayers that we have all been witnessing and getting exposed to the gospel that the Lord has us to use. Pray for the souls that we have been witnessing to. Amen. Kay says, please pray for our kids and grandchildren who need to be saved. Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Justin, Michelle, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Jessica, and Sophia. Nat says, Katie, my daughter, has to have 3 wisdom teeth out on Thursday. Pray the Lord goes before her. Jesus Saves says, still praying for my husband, Colby. That would be Alexandra Bohan. Praying for Colby Bohan. I think only the tribulation will wake him up. Well, maybe not, because God is going to send that strong delusion. But while we're here, we'll absolutely keep praying for Colby. Jacoby Butterfield, pray for my brother Zach, has COVID. Terry Tracy, please pray for my wife with an unspoken health issue. Kay again says, pray for the Lord's comfort for my friend Tracy and her family. Tracy's dad died on Thursday. Andrew says, praying for Terry, who is sick, and for me trying to get over this thing, talking about COVID. Autumn says, an unspoken prayer for a complicated issue. Amen. Aunt Nancy, pray for all of the people that's addicted to video games that will lead to the metaverse and their deception and demise. Absolutely. And if you're thinking about spending some time in virtual reality, don't. It's bad. Stay away. Joshua Gaskins, pray for Israel as the floodwaters are rising over there right now. I hadn't heard about a flood, but amen. Praying for Israel and floodwaters rising. Oh, here it is, yeah. Israeli streets flooded, property damaged as cold wave picks up. And it says a cold wave hit Israel on Sunday morning with icy rains and flooding throughout the country. Amen. Amen, amen. And I'm looking at some of the pictures, and it is bad indeed. Very, very bad. It is 7 degrees Celsius in Jerusalem right now, which means that it's 44.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Not crazy cold, but that's pretty cold. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, God, we thank you. We praise you. We come before you. All the people who have COVID and cancer and anything else, Lord, please work and move and heal in a mighty way. Father God, for everybody who needs reconciliation and restoration, reconcile and restore, Lord. Lord, people who are asking for leading and guidance in these confusing times, shine your light ever brighter, God. And Lord, our flesh is as grass. Help us, Lord. Help us, help us. And Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, and we commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I die to dear desire, self will resign to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send, so send, so send I you.
Heavenly Father, be with me as I preach and teach this morning, and thank you, Lord, for all these people that you've gathered here. We have a nice full chat room, and people all across America and around the world, Lord, they've come for a blessing today. And we pray that you would give it to them, God, through your word and through the preaching and teaching of your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. So glad that you were here for the prayer time. And I know that you guys take it very, very seriously. And remember, there's people counting on you. There's people with sick loved ones who need your prayers more than you can possibly know. Melissa says, praise report on Scott Quiner. Because of all of our prayers, they were able to get him an attorney, and they staved off pulling the plug until February 11th. He is not out of danger, though, as the hospital is fighting with all they have. Please keep praying for him. You remember Scott Quiner. He's in the hospital with COVID, and the hospital wants to pull the plug on him. And we started praying for him about a week and a half ago. And Melissa says that there's a praise report that a lawyer was able to get a judge to say to the hospital that they couldn't pull the plug. And what is that a picture of? That is a picture of somebody advocating for somebody who needs a really good lawyer. Do you have a really good lawyer today? 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Scott Quiner had his life spared because he had an advocate who went before the judge. You and I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who intercedes to the Father on our behalf on a daily basis. Sometimes it's minute by minute. And I'm glad that we have such an advocate with the Father. And I'm glad to hear the praise report about Scott Quiner. Today I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about looking for that blessed hope in the time of COVID. Day 671 of 15 days to flatten the curve. COVID is everywhere. I know a dozen people who have it right now. And I know people who have died from it over these past 671 days. Thankfully, this latest wave is not resulting in as many deaths. But people are just as sick, and even more so. Here in St. John's County, we had just under 7,000 cases of COVID in the last 10 days. Up in Jacksonville, 33,000. Down in Miami, it's 100,000. And I'm sure it's very similar where you live, across America and around the world. I had a woman who wrote to me last year, and she was mad at me. She said that when the rapture didn't happen last year, that it was my fault that her husband wound up in a mental institution because he was waiting for the rapture and the rapture didn't come. So this woman says that it's my fault that the rapture didn't happen. Now, I feel bad that her husband's in a mental institution. However, he is not in a mental institution because the rapture didn't happen. He is likely in a mental institution because his attitude towards the rapture was not correct. You see, many, many people, especially when they're going through times of trouble, will look at the rapture as their escape route. And granted, the rapture is absolutely an escape route. When you talk about the time of Jacob's trouble, the strong delusion, the son of perdition, the revealing of Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is absolutely the way that we get to avoid all of that. But if your primary motivation for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is simply to get out of trouble, then your motivation is wrong. Your motivation is incorrect. In Titus 2:13, the Apostle Paul is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And he says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So I submit to you today that the rapture of the church, the blessed hope, it's not about getting out of here. It's about going to be with Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. There are many Christians, and I believe that these are born again, saved people whose only motivation for the rapture is because life on earth has become arduous. It's become hard. It's become rough. That is not the reason that you should be looking forward to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. You should be looking forward to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church because that's the day that you're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. And my question to you is, are you ready to meet him? That's what you should be preparing for. Getting out of here is not the main focus. Going to be with Jesus Christ is the blessed hope. And removing us in the rapture is the way that he chooses to do it. But the rapture is simply the transportation mechanism. The rapture itself is not what you need to be preparing for. Meeting Jesus and going to the judgment seat of Christ, that's what you should be preparing for. not simply to get out of here. Because once you're out, and if you're unprepared to meet Jesus Christ, you're going to go from one trouble spot to another. So today I want to talk to you about how should we be living during a time of global pandemic. Turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 in your King James Bibles. And I want to show you one of the very few spots, in fact, there's only two of them, one of the very few places in Matthew 24 that you can rightly apply to the Christian church. Matthew 24, 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. All right, let's stop right there. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He has been departed from his temple for the last 2,000 years. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus saith unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Well, we know that the end of the world doesn't take place until Revelation chapter 20. The end of the world doesn't take place until Revelation chapter 20. Keep your finger in Matthew 24 and look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20 says this, And I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place, and there was found no place for them. That's the end of the world. 2 Peter chapter 3 gives you further light on Revelation 20. But 2 Peter 3:10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, look back in Matthew chapter 24. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So from the time that his disciples are asking him this question, all the way to the end of the period that they're asking about, is at the very least a 3,000 year period of time. It's been 2,000 years since his disciples asked him that question. But if the rapture was today, and the 7-year time of Jacob's troubles started, and then you have the second coming, and then you have the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, ruling from the throne of his father David from Jerusalem, that's 1,000 years. Then the end of the world takes place. So when his disciples said to him, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Revelation 19. And of the end of the world, Revelation 20. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 4, Take heed that no man deceive you. So the first thing Jesus said would happen would be a time of universal deception. Now, you will notice that the universal deception takes place after the destruction of the temple in verse 2. The very first thing Jesus said to them was, the temple will be destroyed. And then his disciples ask about the sign of his coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus says, in that time, what time? The last days? Are we living in the last days right now? Genesis 49, verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Are we living in the last days right now? I think we are. I think we absolutely are. In the same passage in Matthew 24, verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, verse 34, the generation that he's in the context that he's talking about is not the generation that sees the regathering of Israel, but the generation that sees the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the context. And I know everybody else says, when ye shall see all these things, that know that it is near. But the context is immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, so the real clue is not in verse 33. The real clue is in verse 32. Turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2. Turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2. And I want to show you the real clue that God has left for us here. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 7. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Talking about Jesus coming to get us in the rapture. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, keep your finger in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. And I want to show you something that almost nobody talks about, but it's something that God has put on my heart lately and something that I'm going to be writing about later today, is that the real clue in Matthew 24 is not this generation shall not pass, because this generation is talking about the people in the time of Jacob's trouble, and we are not going to be in the time of Jacob's trouble. But the real clue are the seasons. And let me show you what I mean. The real clue is in the seasons. Matthew 24, 32 said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So God is, he's putting your attention on one particular season, and he's connecting it with the nation of Israel. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Watch it. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Underline that. The times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So, I want to connect something for you. I want you to connect Acts 1, 6 and 7. I want you to connect it to Matthew 24, 32. And I want you to connect it to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And you'll see what Jesus is really telling you. Song of Solomon 2:10, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's the rapture of the church. Then, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. This is springtime. This is when the rapture takes place. When the winter is over, the early rains of spring are done, and the flowers are resurrecting. The flowers are blooming. Up from the grave he arose. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it all takes place in the springtime. But now watch what happens. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. When is the rapture? It's in the springtime. Now go back to Matthew 24, but I want you to write that down. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. And Matthew 24, 32. And you see very, very clearly that the rapture of the church takes place in springtime. Springtime in Israel is the same time as springtime in America. It is the same time as springtime in Europe. Now, let me get to my message for this morning. Matthew 24. And I think that we've established that Jesus, there's only two places in Matthew 24 that can apply to the church. I just gave you one, and now I'm going to give you the second one. Matthew 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. It's going to be a time of global deception. We are living in a time of such global deception that the term global deception in no way is adequate for the global deception that we're experiencing. Every government on the face of the earth is lying to all of their people, and they're all doing it at the same time. Do you realize that? Jesus says, many shall come in my name and say that I am Christ and shall deceive many. Do we live in a time where people claim to be coming in the name of Jesus Christ? Absolutely, we do. The Pope over in Rome calls himself the Vicar of Christ, that he is the vicarious Jesus Christ. He has 1.4 billion followers who believe that he is the Vicar of Christ. That is a deception. Verse 6 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So Jesus says, see that ye be not troubled. You know what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Matthew 24 says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And then if you have your King James Bible open, you will see that verse 9 has a paragraph mark. And whenever you see a paragraph mark in your Bible, it means that the Holy Spirit is changing the subject. He's going in a different direction. Matthew 24:8 says, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And then the very next verse shows you the Jewish people in the time of the Great Tribulation, completely skipping over the church age, completely skipping over the age of grace, and going right in to the Jewish people, the tribulation saints being brought before the government of Antichrist, and then what Jesus is telling those people who will be alive during the time of Jacob's trouble, telling them what they are supposed to be doing. And that paragraph mark shows you it's a completely different topic. So if you look at Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8, that is the time period that we are living in right here and right now. That time period will come to an end in something called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That is not my opinion. That is Bible doctrine. That is absolute guaranteed Bible doctrine. But that does not mean that we are not going to experience death, chaos, confusion, and tribulation with a small t while we're here waiting for the rapture of the church. We have been praying for thousands of people over these past 671 days. Thousands and thousands of people have requested prayer. And it is an honor to be able to take their prayer request and come together as a church family before the Lord. And some of those people that we've been praying for have died because God decided that he was going to take them home. Sadly, some of the people that we were praying for died unsaved. And with each passing day, with each passing week, and each passing month, things get crazier and crazier. They've changed, but this whole end times cataclysm has not come to an end. It hasn't stopped for even one day. Now, maybe it will stop tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow, should we wake up if the Lord opens our eyes tomorrow morning? Maybe tomorrow we'll wake up to a world that is blissfully peaceful and there's no more trouble and no more lying and cheating and stealing. No more global pandemic and plandemic. No more this insane crusade to inject this mysterious substance into everybody's body. Maybe tomorrow all this will stop. I don't know. But I know that it hasn't stopped for 671 days. I know that. It hasn't stopped for 671 days. And it really looks like we are living in the time that the Bible talks about, where the New World Order was going to come into existence. And I believe that that's what we're watching right now. On the podcast tomorrow, I have some updates on Emmanuel Macron, who is now the president of the European Union for the next 6 months. And 2022 has a lot of really big prophetical things that are scheduled to launch. Did you know that 21 to 22 is a jubilee year for the nation of Israel? Did you know that 21 to 22 is a jubilee year for the 50th anniversary of the United Arab Emirates? Did you know that the year 2022 is when the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi, the One World Religion headquarters, it's almost done, and it's going to be opening in 2022. Rob said, the heater guy just called. Please pray that I can witness to him when he's here. Amen. And many will be praying that you'll have a good witness with him, Rob, as he turns your heat back on. Amen. So what is our attitude to be in these last days of the church age? If the rapture was today, are you ready to go? If the rapture was today, are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? So we need to take our focus off of the global plandemic and put our eyes on what God is using the global plandemic to accomplish. He is using it to accomplish his word. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All those things are happening right now. For nation shall rise against nation. That could mean World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. It could absolutely mean that. It could also mean a nation rising against its own people. Many leaders in countries all over the world have declared a war against the unvaccinated. And now look, I'm not taking Matthew 24:7 and simply reducing nation shall rise against nation to give it a, vaccinated versus unvaccinated application. But it kind of fits. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Didn't Emmanuel Macron say that he wanted to take the unvaccinated French people and dip them in excrement? Didn't he say that? And didn't Joe Biden give a speech just a couple of days ago where he declared war on 50% of America? And isn't Trudeau up in Canada? Hasn't he become a tyrant that his own people have accused him of tyranny against the people of Canada? And everywhere you look, you're seeing nation turning against nation and turning against their own people. And I'm not saying that that is the interpretation of Matthew 24:7. I am just simply saying that's a possibility. And let's see how that develops. Let's see how that all that shakes out. But Jesus says that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. COVID is a pestilence. A 7.4 earthquake yesterday sent a tsunami wave to the west coast of the United States. And Jesus says that all these are the beginning of sorrows. There has never been a greater time for us to come together as a church family and to pray for the needs of each other. There has never been a better time than right now to share the gospel of the grace of God with lost people. Don't give up on your friends and your family members that you've been praying for years. Don't slow down handing out gospel tracts. Don't stop handing out King James Bibles to people who need them. This is not the time to slow down. This is the time to speed up. So as we begin to go through the opening few weeks of 2022, I want to remind you that the main thing that we need to keep in mind is the main thing. You know, if you've ever attended a meeting at Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've probably been to about 1,000 of those meetings, if you've ever been to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the things that they tell you there is that you need to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, this is obviously not a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's probably not all that many alcoholics listening to this broadcast right now. I'm sure there's some, but we would do very, very well for ourselves in terms of our walk with the Lord if we today would keep the main thing the main thing. And for you and I, the main thing is not catching COVID. That's not the main thing. For you and I, the main thing is not putting all of our time, our energy, our focus on what the one world government that's rising is trying to do to us. But we should look at these things that are swirling around us and understand that as we watch, we are watching Bible prophecy coming true. And when you look at Acts chapter 1 and Matthew 24 and Song of Solomon chapter 2, you see very, very clearly that God is showing you the seasons for a reason. Israel is summertime. Late summer. The end of September. The Feast of Tabernacles. Migdal Eder. That's Israel. But you and I in the church age. Passover. Pentecost. The resurrection, springtime, that's me and you. And you and I need to make sure that as we go through all of these end times things, that we are keeping the main thing, the main thing, and the main thing is telling a lost and dying world about salvation in Jesus Christ. The main thing is working to get saved people on fire for God so that they will have something that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. I've waited 30 years for this time period to come. I didn't know if I would ever see it. Clarence Larkin talked about this time period. He talks about it in books like Rightly Dividing the Word. He talks about it in books like Dispensational Truth. Dr. Ruckman talked about this time period, talked about this day. He didn't live long enough to see it. But you and I who are alive and saved and have the hope of heaven and we're looking for that blessed hope, you and I have lived long enough to see it. You and I are in the middle of it right now. And so what are we doing here at the bookstore? We're trying to get as many King James Bibles out to people as possible. I received an email last week for a case of King James Bibles in Spanish and a case of King James Ruckman Bibles to go to a mission in Texas. And that will be the third time in the past 2 months that we have sent cases of Bibles to ministries just in the state of Texas. Now, we're doing that in dozens of different states, and we're doing it all around the world. We're doing it in Vietnam. We're doing it in the Philippines. We're doing it all across Europe. We get many, many calls from people in Africa. And we are unable to answer those calls right now because nobody is shipping to Africa. You can't get a box of anything shipped to Africa or South Africa right now. It just doesn't exist. But as soon as that gets lifted, we will resume shipping to Africa and South Africa. So what am I trying to tell you? We're keeping it real simple here at Now the End Begins. We're keeping the main thing the main thing. We are working to give King James Bibles to people who ask for them, who need them, who request them, who minister with them. We're putting up gospel witness billboards. Very expensive proposition. But I believe that we are the generation that will see the rapture. I believe that the events taking place right now match exactly with the beginning of sorrows from Matthew chapter 24. I believe that that's happening right now. And if I'm wrong, well, we're still getting something done for Jesus Christ. People are getting saved. Saved people are getting on fire for God. So it's not about getting ready for the rapture. It's about getting ready for the judgment seat that takes place after the rapture. And the only way that you can get ready for the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll close with this thought, the only way that you can get ready, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the only way that you can get ready for the judgment seat of Christ is you have to finish your course. If you've ever been to high school, if you've ever been to college, if you've ever been to graduate school, if you've ever been to trade school, in order for you to graduate, you have to finish your course of study and instruction. Anybody who has ever received a diploma for anything, they only receive that diploma when they have finished a course of instruction and study. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And because of that, Paul says he's going to have a good experience at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at verse 8. I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know that word henceforth means because of this, or from this point on. Paul says he fought a good fight. He said he finished his course and that he kept the faith. And because of that, he is going to get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. Now turn to Acts chapter 20 and I'll be done. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul says three separate times that we are to follow him. He says, be ye followers of me. And if you look that up in your King James Bible, you'll see that Paul says it three times. And the Apostle Paul said that he kept the faith. He said he finished his course. Have you finished your course? Are you working on your course? Do you know what your course is? I was talking with a friend the other day, and we were talking about ministries that God gives us to do. And they were wondering about the ministry that God had given them. And I said that there is nothing more important than knowing what your course is. You don't get the diploma if you haven't finished your course. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 that he fought a good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. He didn't win every fight, but he fought a good fight. Are you in the fight today? He says that he finished his course. Well, I just told you what Paul's course was. Paul's course was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Our course is to follow the Apostle Paul. Are we following the Apostle Paul? A man who gave up everything for the gospel? A man who dedicated his life and death for the cause of the gospel? I want you to think about that today. I want you to pray about that today. Now, maybe your course is to pray for other people. And if so, are you doing it? As you can see today, we had 35 minutes of prayers to lift up before the Lord. Are you going to remember any of those people during the week? I know it's a lot. That's a really big list. But can you adopt four or five of those people? Can you adopt one or two of those people and just pray for them and say, I can't do the whole list, but I can do those two people. I can pray for those four people. I'll remember that. Are you being a witness where God has planted you? Are you telling the people that you come in contact with, like Kyle, who's witnessing to the people at Walmart? And I forget the name of the brother with the bad heater, but he's asking for prayers to witness to the repairman who's going to come over and see if he can fix the heater. And forgive me for not remembering your name, brother, but a lot of thoughts in my head right now. But are we doing that? Are we doing everything that we can to get the gospel of the grace of God out to people who need it? If you're looking for a way to get that done, I invite you to come and labor with us. Help us to send out thousands more King James Bibles around the world. We can only do it if you give. We can only do it if you pray. D.L. Moody was the greatest evangelist since the Apostle Paul. And if you've ever read any stories about his life, you see the massive support team that he had. It takes a whole family of Christian believers to get something done for God on a global level. But you and I are getting something done for God on a global level. And it's Rob who has the heater and who is going to witness to the repairman. So in closing, I want you to get your eyes off of COVID. And I want you to get your eyes on Jesus Christ. And ask him, Lord, how can I redeem this time? What can I do to be a help to the body of Christ? Use me, God, to help send King James Bibles out around the world. Use me, God, to help put up billboards that witness the gospel to lost people. Use me, Father God, to be a blessing to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have gotten cold, and let me be the spark that gets them back on fire. And if you do that, then I promise you that you'll have something that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. This is why I labor. This is why I do this 7 days a week. This is why I've given up everything else to do this ministry full time. Because hell is real and lost people go there. And one of the saddest things in the whole world is watching somebody go to hell who doesn't have to go. And the second saddest thing in the whole world is watching saved, born-again people sitting on the sidelines doing nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ, simply waiting for the rapture so that they can get out of here. Don't let that be you today. Waiting for the rapture is a good thing. But if you're idle while you do it, you have missed the entire point of what the rapture is, and you'll likely miss getting a crown at the judgment seat of Christ if you continue to sit back and do nothing. The war is real, the battle hot, and the time is so short, it's almost up. And I call you to the fight today while there's still time left to get something done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, we thank you for hundreds of people in the chat room and listening around the world. Lord, let there be revival today in my heart. I don't need to see worldwide revival. I just need to see myself get revived. And then let me share that gospel fire with another brother and sister who has grown cold for you, Lord. Revive us again in the midst of our years. Let us get something done for you while we still can. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There will be no Bible study tonight. I am still, I don't know what I have been battling physically this past 10 days, but I feel better, but I'm going to need a good night's sleep again tonight. And so no Bible study. Please keep me in prayer. The Lord has been very, very gracious and has kept COVID off of me while just about everybody around me has it. And I'm grateful and thankful that I haven't caught COVID, but I'm definitely fighting something. There's no question about that. So no Bible study tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and remember, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're